to speak that you have given him, that he would be able to share them from his heart. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon this service and help us, Lord, to receive also what you have for us, that we could grow spiritually and that we can walk in newness of life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. That name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My message this morning is titled, Heartily as to the Lord. We've been going through the book of Colossians, and we're in Colossians chapter 3 today, starting with verse 18. But before we go there, well, our theme verse this morning is Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do you believe in a sovereign God? I asked the youth class this morning, and sovereign would mean a controlling God. Do you believe in a God that is in charge? We talked about it that all powerful and sovereign are not exactly the same thing. You cannot be sovereign. God could not be sovereign if he was not all powerful. You can be all powerful and not be sovereign. God can limit his strength. We see that in his son, Jesus, while he was on earth. There were things that he limited himself willingly. He laid down his life, for instance. But he also took it up at his own strength. But do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Who can quote Romans 8:28? Many of you have probably written this sometime as your favorite verse or your life verse or whatever. Somebody help me quote Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Do you believe that God is sovereign? And do you believe that all things work together for good to those who love God? And do you believe that God is sovereign in the situation that you are in right now? Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. I'm just going to let that sit a little bit. And then we're going to talk about it. Let's turn to Colossians 3. I'll ask you to turn to Colossians 3, 18. And we'll read 18 through 25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, in other words, those that are set over you in the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I thought I was going to talk on this whole section this morning, but I'm going to read verse 18 again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that is, as it is fit in the Lord. When I say wives, submit to your husbands, how does that make you feel? What comes up inside of you when you feel, when you hear that? There is something very powerful at work here this morning. That something probably affects every one of us to some degree or another, some much more than others, I'm sure. It is something that started in Genesis chapter 3. Has been around ever since. It is something that gained a lot more traction in the United States in the late 60s and early 70s. And right up to the present day. And that something is called feminism. That something is a mistrust and a rejection of God's headship order for men and women. It is an unreasonable demand that we all see men and women as equal, and that equal has to mean sameness. Like I said, it affects all of us in varying degrees. But there is a cry for equality, for sameness. Children in kindergarten are being taught that they will have to wait and see whether they tend to prefer to date boys or date girls. When they grow up, and that may or may not help them decide what their orientation is. And you're saying that's not us. That's not here. But is it? I feel like I've got everyone's attention right now. When you hear, wives, submit to your husbands, you start listening very carefully. Is it because you want to make sure that I'm going to bring a balanced approach to this issue? And then I'm going to quickly mention the husband's responsibilities to love, to protect, to nurture. Or is it because you're thinking, am I doing well in this area? Lord, speak to me. Show me. How do you want me to respond to my husband? I said all of us are affected by this morning. This is where a preacher is affected by this something. It's tempting to fall all over myself trying to make sure that everyone understands that I mean no harm. That I'm not really saying that you should obey your husbands, but that you should just really give serious thought to what your husband has to say about things. We need to be balanced, right? And I do want to be careful. And I want to be respectful. But I also must be true to God's Word. And the Word says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And that would be as it is proper, not as the situation demands or as seems good. He's saying, submit yourselves as is fit for a Christian wife. There is another equally powerful force here at work here this morning in our minds. And praise God, there's an even greater power if we will give Him free rein. And that, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the second force that is at work in this is the message and the belief of the right of the individual to be happy, and our general view of authority. I'm going through Colossians 3. I'm going to intentionally skip some verses this morning and save them for next time. The husbands are told to love their wives, and the fathers are not to provoke their children. But I'm going to intentionally not address that this morning. I plan to have that in my next message. So while the women did not have time to prepare for this message, men, you do. Be practicing and seeking the Lord in those areas. Because a preacher has no problem coming down hard on the men. Because the Word comes down hard on men. And there is nothing in society that gives him a black mark for doing so. A preacher has a hard time being frank with the women because it is very unpopular and very not politically correct. Christ will reign. So I want to focus on these verses, and again, I want to be very clear, I'm not avoiding the others, but I feel so often we try to give the balanced approach and end up going to one side rather than being balanced. So I'm going to purposely focus on the area of submission this time, and those that are called to submission in this passage, and then next time look at leadership. And one thing that I want to make very clear is that when fathers are told not to provoke their sons to wrath, and when fathers are told, husbands are told to love their wives, those passages and those verses are often followed with, because you have a father, and you will give answer. And so I am in no way excusing the men this morning. But I am talking, and some of the things I'm going to be talking to will be talking to the men. But the area we're looking at this morning is submission. And that's can be for all of us. But I've specifically picked out the verses in this chapter addressing submission. So now it reads like this. Wives, there's several categories here or specific people mentioned. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Wise, when you submit, submit as to the Lord. Children, when you obey your parents, obey as to the Lord. Servants, when you obey your masters in all things, obey them as in obeying the Lord. Knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. He is going to be the one that rewards you for obeying your parents. He's going to be the one that rewards you for submitting to your husband and obeying your husband. He's also the one, in verse 25, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The thing that brought me up short in this, and maybe it's one of those things that you know, but you don't really realize, is that there is a common theme of obedience and no conditions given and no exceptions. I asked when I came up, I asked what comes up in your mind when I say, wives, submit. Let's try some other words. I want you to really try to engage here. What do you feel? And now I'm talking to all of us. That word, that servants obey in all things your masters. Many of you have a boss at work. There would be an example of where this applies to all of us. We all live in a state, a county, and a state, and a country that has laws and rules and regulations relating to authority and submission. So what do you feel when I say traffic cop? What I really want us to get a grip on here this morning is that we have the scriptures that tell us how to live. And we have society that tells us how to live. And where do we take our cues from? Building inspector. Boss. School teacher. Whatever feeling comes up in your mind when you think school teacher is probably pretty close. I'm speaking to the parents now. Is probably pretty close to the same feelings that came up in your children's heart when I said school teacher. Is your child's teacher enjoying or suffering the fruits of your attitude? How many of you pray for Rosalind and Elizabeth? Okay. How many of you pray for your child's teacher in the same way and the same compassion? It's kind of like loving the Christians in China. It's easy to assume that Rosalind's school children and Elizabeth's school children, by the way, for those of you who don't know, they're teaching school. Rosalind is in Pennsylvania, Elizabeth is in Illinois. Those children probably are pretty well behaved and well mannered and not many problems, and the teachers are just get along and it's wonderful there. And we're praying for them. Here it's different. We love the Christians in China. It's the Christians at Calvary Chapel that are kind of hard to get along with. Do you pray for your child's teacher? What do you think of when you hear the word church? I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 13. I want to echo a little bit of what Sam said. Like he said that he's kind of making fun of going to Goodwill and saving money until you run out. And then he came back and said he appreciates his wife. I want to say that I don't want to whitewash this and say it's all fine, we don't have any problems. Neither do I want to, I don't want to come across as in a sound, I know I can come across as being condemning. I don't want that to be the case. I want you to feel like you are hearing from the Lord this morning. And try your heart. Are you hearing affirmation? Are you hearing, yes, Lord, I am doing that? Or are you hearing that prick in your conscience that says, you know what, I need help in that area? Romans 13, chapter 1, let every soul, and that doesn't limit it to wives and husbands, that's every soul, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no, this is why it matters that we respect and obey authority. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He is the minister of God. And that's where I brought up earlier, do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Because there is no doubt there are many corrupt officials. This is Paul writing. Often Paul's writings were penned while in prison. He was never justly condemned. He dealt with corrupt officials all his life. So we can't use that as an excuse. For he is, verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore we must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Not just because we might get in trouble, but for our own conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Have you ever thought of the tax assessor as being God's minister, attending continually upon this very thing? Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We in society, society in general, and I'm afraid too often we have this concept that authority needs to earn our respect. You treat me well, I'll respect your position. And it can get applied across the spectrum. Let's do this again. What feelings come up inside of you when you hear? And now I'm speaking to, I've got this kind of broken down, and some of this kind of runs together, but I'm going to try to break this down into groups. Children and youth. And I'll let you decide where you are, if you're a children or a youth. What do you think of when I say these words? And again, I'm going to say teachers, this time from the children's perspective. Children and youth, what do you think of when you think of teachers, here or at school? Do you think of a position of respect, a position of authority, God-ordained authority in your life? God is sovereign. All things work together for good, according to those who love God. That teacher in your life that you just can't stand, maybe God is trying to form himself, do something in you through that teacher. the bus driver. Children and youth, what do you think of your parents? Grandparents. Uncles and aunts. Other adults. Do you honor each of these? Or do they need to earn your respect? Then you'll respect them. The authorities that be are ordained of God. Parents, I already touched on this, but your child's teacher, his bus driver. Wives, your husband. We are to submit, honor heartily as to the Lord. You say, but Jesus wouldn't act like that. I already touched on this or mentioned, but if the tax assessor was Jesus Christ himself, would you speak any differently of him? And you say, well, Jesus wouldn't act like the tax assessor does, or whatever else it might be that's in your life that's a stickler. Look again at verse 6 in Romans 13 there. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. They are actually doing their work in God's sovereign positioning, ordaining. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? And do you believe that all things work together for good to those who love God? Now we're going to look at some more verses here. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Till Christ be formed in you. All things work together for good. Maybe, not maybe, for sure, the things in your life that don't make sense is God working in you. And I don't for a minute doubt. I know. That there are some people that have a much tougher row to hoe than others. But if we can have faith that God is working in my life till Christ be formed in me. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's pruning. That's doing things to make this branch produce more fruit. What is Christ trying to do in your life through your circumstances? 1 Peter 1:3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We must believe that God is working everything for good in my life. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the results of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now I want to look again at some more scriptures in reference to a wife's duty to be under her husband's authority and respect him. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And again, I'm not trying to ignore this. I am being decidedly one-sided today. But the other side never, again, when we talk to the men, we're not going to say, and if you don't do this, your wife should not respect you. If you aren't doing this, your children should not obey you. That is not, that's why I am being so decidedly one-sided. The husbands have responsibilities, yes. But there aren't counterpoints to this that say, but if you're not doing this, it's okay because. This is what the Scriptures demand of the wives. Turn to 1 Peter 3. That is quite often that the marriage relationship is to represent the relationship between Christ and the church. You never see where it is okay for the church. And again, I know Christ is the perfect husband, but you never see where it is okay for the church to not follow Christ's commands or Christ's will or Christ's desires. The husband represents Christ in the relationship, even when he doesn't do a good job of representing Christ. He may not appear like Christ, but he is a symbol of Christ. The husband and wife relationship, the husband represents Christ in that context. 1 Peter 3, we're going to read 1 through 6, but the first word there is likewise, and then it says, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. What is that likewise? Go back to chapter 2, verse 18. In 1 Peter 2, 18, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Servants, be subject to your master, no matter what he's like, with all fear. And then he gives some reasoning and some logic for that. But this, likewise, in verse 1 of chapter 3, is referring to that command. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That, if any obey not the word, this is, if any husband is not obeying the word, the husband, they also may, without the word, they don't even have to read the scriptures, they can be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear or reverence towards them. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Remember, you are doing this unto the Lord, and He sees it as having great price or great value. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. That verse 1, ye wives, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Adam Clark in his commentary on that verse, says, "Consider that your husband is, by God's appointment, the head and ruler of the house. Do not, therefore, attempt to usurp his government. For even though he obey not the word, is not a believer in the Christian doctrine, his rule is not thereby impaired. For Christianity never alters civil relations." The fact that us being Christians or not does not affect, me being a Christian demands, the wife being a Christian demands, that no matter what her husband is like, she must obey what Christ has commanded. Christianity never alters civil relations. And your affectionate, obedient conduct will be the most likely means of convincing him of the truth of the doctrine which you have received. I came across this quote. This was also, it's not Adam Clark's quote, but he quoted another man. It was a French name or something. I couldn't even say the name. I don't remember where it was anymore. "Ill thrives the hapless family that shows a cock that's silent and a hen that crows. I know not which live most unnatural lives, obeying husbands or commanding wives." It is altogether out of order for men to be in submission to their wives. And it is altogether out of order for wives to be commanding their husbands. Again, I don't want to apologize. I feel like I need to. I admit, I recognize this has been decidedly one-sided today. The next message is coming. But don't wait until you hear the next message to see if this is all balanced enough that you can honor what God has commanded the wives. Your husband's character, and I'm not excusing the men by any means, your husband's character, his ineffectiveness as a leader, his shortcomings on whatever level, are never anywhere in Scripture a reason or a validation for you as a wife to not honor him, to not obey. We don't like that word obey. Where it says obey your husband is the same meaning of when it says that even the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus. It's the same word. That word is used many times in the New Testament. We have no trouble understanding that word. It means obey. And nowhere is it accepted, is there exceptions given that this is commanded, but it's what's commanded. Wives, submit to your husbands heartily as to the Lord. I would just ask you to let the Spirit speak to you. An illustration I'll give is that I just shared this with the youth last week. The Gospel of John, the book of 1 John says, "These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." I heard a minister saying one time that he often preaches on the book of 1 John and how you can go through the book of 1 John and rather than looking back at an experience you've had, that's an important thing if you can look back at an experience you've had and coming to know the Lord. But rather than looking back to that to gain your assurance, you look at the Scriptures and you look at your life and see how they measure up. And he was at a church. He didn't know the people, or he was a visiting speaker, and he was preaching. And there was a man that was hearing him preach about the assurance of salvation and looking at the scriptures. And this man was aware of, it seemed like there was two or three older single ladies in the church, that this was just a constant battle with them. They really struggled with their confidence and their assurance of being saved. And this man told the preacher later, afterwards, he said, "I heard you start preaching this, and I thought, oh no, these ladies are going to be crushed." And instead what happened was afterwards they came up and they said, "Thank you so much. We're seeing that we can look at this, and it's in my life, it's real. I look at this, it's in my life, it's real. And you have given me a level of confidence and assurance today that I never had before." My point being, let the Word of God speak to you. I'll give another illustration. I'm going to pick on Ryan a little bit. Ryan is learning to read. And Ryan has a habit. He's getting better at it. But he's just learning to read. And he has a habit of starting a word, and he'll sound out the first two or three letters, and then kind of, oh, and he'll finish it. And it's not the right word. And I was telling him, you can't just guess. Let the letters tell you what it says. And so we were working on that a little bit. And a couple days later, or that day yet, I think he was in school with Mom. And he says, "Dad said, let the letters tell you what it says. Letters don't talk." And then later, I hear him working with his mom. And he says, "A says eh. A says eh." And I said, "What does A do?" "Says eh." I said, "Letters don't talk." And it clicked with him. It's starting to click with him. Let the scriptures tell you where you're at. Don't look at your life and guess. Don't look at society. Again, I don't think we can quite comprehend how much the feminist movement and the mixing of the genders and transgender, and you can be a man today, and if you want to be a woman in 2 or 3 years, you can do that too. How much that has affected our lives. Now, when we get to the men, we're going to talk about our women and our children being tender plants in our house. This by no means gives us the right to be iron-fisted and demanding. But if that man in your life is iron-fisted and demanding, it does not give you the right to not respect and honor and submit. That may very well be the manner God chooses to reach him. Lord bless you all. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the women in our congregation. Thank you for the flavor and the beauty and the variety that they bring. I pray, Lord, that you help us all, first of all, to respect the authorities that be, from children to adults. Help us, Lord, to have a picture of you ordaining the powers that be. Help us, Lord, to respect them regardless of their character, to respect the position because it's ordained of you. Lord, I pray for the wives that are here today. I pray, Lord, for a sense of nearness with you. Whether that nearness means comfort or brokenness or a mixture of both. I pray that you help us as men to be sensitive to our wives and their needs. But help us, Lord, to be men and to be leaders. Help the wives to take their rightful place, to submit, to obey, to honor. Lord, I trust that you would rule in our families, that our family units could be a thing of beauty, a thing of being in your way, in your order, in your design, and just being a sweet testimony to our neighbors, to those around us. Help us all, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. We ask that you help us to do all these things to your honor, to your glory, and to do them heartily for you. Give us grace. We bless you. We thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.